You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, Larissa here from Salon Owners Collective. Now, your salon is your baby, am I right? Well, if you're anything like me when I was a salon owner, you'll know the statement to be all too true. Every aspect of your business is run in a specific way that you've worked so hard to achieve. Like, it really does feel like raising a child. Well, it certainly did for me. But if you are anything like me as a salon owner, then you've also thought about selling your salon, maybe multiple times. Maybe you won't ever actually do it, but you always wonder, what would it be like if I let go of my baby and be free? And let me tell you that it can be tough. So in this episode of the podcast, I'm joined by Kylie Ann Colbert, who was until 2018 an owner of multiple salons. Now, Kylie Ann talks about her journey with selling her salons and why doing so doesn't have to be as daunting as it may seem. I think, you know, we all feel an undeniable emotional connection to our salon. Like, is it just the hair and beauty industry? We're so personal. We're so personal with the team. We're so personal with our clients. But it's time to get ahead of the game. So join me and my guest as we discuss having an end in mind for your salon to avoid becoming stuck, and how to confront the idea of selling your salon in the future in a way that actually helps your business in the present. So let's get into it. Join me on this episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Kylie Ann, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really pleased to have you and your topic here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited that somebody actually wants to take hold and embrace, this particular subject.
Absolutely. I think we don't talk about it enough. And so I was super pleased to see you lurking around my socials, and I grabbed you with two hands. So let's start with, where are you in the world and how did you get to be doing what you're doing? Give us a quick sort of intro into who was.
Yeah, sure. I am now an ex-salon owner. I had multiple salons. I sold my last one in June 2018, so last year. The journey of selling my salons was what took me into obviously writing an ebook to make it easy and readable, because as you said, when no one's talking about it. So I decided that was something that needed to be shared amongst the salon owners, because what it is and what we think it is totally two different things. And often we go into it, not prepared, not aware, think it might be easy. Often we're stressed and, you know, desperate in some cases. And there's so much that you need to know to be able to have that end result, which is your salon sold. So that's what I chose to do.
I really love that, because I know for myself, when I sold my salon, it was probably the number one most stressful event in my entire life, including leaving home, buying a house, having children. Having a divorce to 30 individual people, I found it hugely traumatic. Yes. But at the same time, you know, I was ready to do it and very freeing, but that didn't make it any easier. So,
well, you compare it to a divorce. I unfortunately have gone through a divorce, and I would say that this was actually even more stressful. So, it grew me as a person too, which was fabulous. And yeah, I'll take that away.
Yeah. Okay. So how long did you own your salon, Kylie Ann?
I had three salons over 25 years. So I started very young, and then the process was that I knew I wanted to get out of owning my own salons, not because I didn't love the industry anymore. I'm very passionate about it. It's just that I took a different step into, well, beauty's inside and out. I changed my model of my businesses and created a concept of mindset into the beauty as well. So we can walk away from the business looking great, but have we really solved problems? So I then decided to go into, you know, business coaching, change facilitating, which was predominantly with mindset. So, you know, I decided, well, you know, now's the time to sell my salon. So, yeah, that was a very interesting joyride.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so let's discuss this topic of are we ready to sell? Do we want to sell? I know for myself, Kylie, and I, for a long time, I remember I owned my salon for 20 years, and I remember on 5 different occasions I considered the thought of selling. Is it the right time to sell? But each time, what kept me from doing it, I was petrified.
Yes, absolutely.
The process of selling, and the selling process was more scary than the staying process.
You've got a lot of emotions invested in on it. You know, it's, you know, in some cases, it's you've had it for 10 years, had it for 5 years. You know, often I hear salon owners say, "Oh, it's my baby." So, you know, it's often we're stuck in not wanting to let it go, but we do want to let it go. So, you know, you've got this rocking motion, and that itself causes frustration and anger and stress and overwhelm and a long list of limiting emotions. So, yeah, fear is a big one too.
And I guess one of the things when you say my salon is my baby, I think we forget that it's not a true baby, which you know, probably be illegal to sell.
Yes.
If you sell it, it's not like you can't have another, you know, it doesn't have to be a lifelong thing.
No, it's not. But we do. But I think we often start off as beauty therapists, and our idea as a beauty therapist is that we want to make people feel good. So we're very nurturing and caring, and somewhere in that we decide we might want to own our own business, and then we become this businesswoman. However, we've still learnt first to be this caring results. Mm-hmm. You know, we want our clients to have results. We want our clients to be happy. We want our clients to come back. So we really often just don't have our mindset in the, oh, I've got to sell this, without their emotional attachment. And it's not like you're going to park your emotions up. It just means, well, am I the best person to be selling my business? You know, what do I need to do? And it's not like selling a house or something on eBay. It's a lot more complicated than that, which you do know.
That's right. Okay, so look, tell us, how do we know when is the right time to sell? Like, if we're dancing with this idea and it's kind of lurking around, how can we really tell when is the right time?
Okay, so it's a two-part question. One is that you've come into it and you've just gone, I've had enough. Like, I'm done. So you're in the mud. You're overwhelmed. You're frustrated, and you just can't move forward anymore. So this is a time where you go, well, is this good for me? Is it good for my team? Is it good for my clients? Is this a time I'm selling? And is it for the right reason? And I write this in the ebook, are you selling for the right reasons? Then there's the other time is, like me, I had this profound idea that I was going to change my career. You know, I've been in this industry for, you know, most of my life. You know, what was next? What did I want to do, you know, as I, you know, went into my older years, and how did I want to make a difference? But some people do come into that, you know, they've bought the business, they bought it to sell it at some stage. They build it up and they sell it. And they've come in with a business mindset. They may have come in from not as a beauty therapist first. They were something else before they were a beauty therapist, or before they were actually a salon owner. So it's actually three now that we've actually discussed it, channels on where you get to that point of wanting to sell your business.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, identifying why. Why am I?
Yes. Yeah. What are your whys? Like, what's happening?
Am I overwhelmed and I just want to get out because I hate this, or is it this a strategic move to the next phase of my life?
Or there's sheer panic. You know, the business is not doing well. I'm not making money. I'm not taking home a wage. And the constant complaint of, I don't have enough time, don't have enough money, and I don't have enough resources. So, you know, are you whipping a dead horse?
Yeah.
Sorry. <Okay. laughs> Not a great terminology, but it is, you know, are you dragging on dead wood?
Yep. Okay, yep. Good. So the first step is identify where you're at. What phase are you in?
Yes. What phase are you in? Where are you at right now? Are you loving it? But it's a bit, you know, there's things missing and things not working. Do you need somebody to get it to the next level?
Mm.
You know, it's not always about just selling the salon, because you might be ready to sell the salon, but it's also the other component is the salon ready to be sold? Because a buyer has a particular idea of what they want too, and it is not necessarily going to marry up with the seller's ideas. And this was something that I was like really tormented with in the process of selling. What they see as valuable when they're purchasing is not necessarily valuable to you as the seller. You think your policies and procedures, you spent so much time on that, or, you know, I've trained all my girls, or, oh, my salon looks fantastic and I spent, you know, $250,000 having it look like this. Where a buyer will come in and I'll tell you now that those things are not on their priority at all.
Yeah. They might walk in and rip out that all that fit out because they don't like it.
Yes. Well, in my instance, their one salon totally changed absolutely everything. They just wanted the location, which, you know, and totally changed the concept of the business. So it was never, ever the same. And one of my other businesses was they kept parts of it and changed other parts and, yeah, changed the name and didn't want the website where you think you've invested all this money in the website, and then are they actually going to even buy it off you? Yeah. Do they even see that it's valuable? So, yeah, you've got to get really clear on what it is that the buyer's looking for. It's not about – it's not about us, the seller.
You know, Kylie-Ann, part of that process I know that I learned for myself was learning to let go of – the things that, like you were saying, that were important to me, and recognizing that actually that was just my journey. I know from my experience, you know, I quote unquote completed the business to have a, you know, turnkey handover. I passed
yes.
all things. This is how you do it. Just follow this and you will stay successful. And then what do you mean you don't want to follow those rules? What do you mean you want to change things?
It is very emotional.
You mean your vision is not the same as mine? What do you mean you don't want the same goals and you're changing it?
Yes.
And so that's quite a rude awakening, I think.
Yeah. And then I went through a little period there where I didn't actually want to sell my salon to that person because they didn't, you know, they didn't connect with me. And you know, the girls didn't know that I was selling. I talk about that in the ebook too, how to handle working with your team and when and where's a good time to talk to them about it. But all of a sudden, this particular business owner was wanting to buy it, and they just did not have the same values as what I had. So I got very emotional about it. Now, was that a good time for me to then park it up and give it to somebody else to push forward?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of checkpoints in that, and because you can then self-sabotage your own sale. And it can then draw out for quite a long time, which in my case, my first sale certainly taught me a lot of things, which, yes, I learnt that when I went to sell my second salon, you know, what one thing that took 4 years took 3 months second time around.
Yeah.
So I could take my own learnings, read my own book and go, right, that's what I need to do. And that made all the difference. And it was a happy journey. And it was like I felt, yay, you know, exhilarated at the end of it and uplifted, rather than, you know, oh, wow, have I done the right thing? Is this, you know, really what I wanted to do? So there's so many different variables in the sale of the business.
Okay, so that's really important. I want to talk about numbers next, but it's really important. The first most important thing that you said is it's not about you. As the business owner, the current business owner, your sale is not about you. It's about the new person.
Well, if you want it sold, it can't be about you. It has to be about what they want.
Okay. Well, that is the sort of the significant piece, isn't it?
Like,
if
you want
the sale, then you've got to remove yourself from the equation and say this is no longer going to be your
baby. Or have a very strong sale, understand what their buying strategy is.
Mm-mm-mm.
And I learnt by the second time with a sale of a salon, through my studies on how to be able to understand that person who's coming in as the buyer, what do I need to say that's going to have them be influenced to buy the salon. So we can get a turnover on this quite quickly, which then you don't have the emotional roller coaster ride that, you know, can happen when it gets drawn out. Yeah.
Okay. That's really important. How important are the numbers to, oh no, before we go into that, something I want to touch on around being ready to sell or looking at your business as if you're ready to sell, even if you're not. You know, like if we think about not being so emotional with our business and being a little bit more disconnected, so it's still your baby, but it's you are not your business. This is something I in my own coaching program. Mm-hmm. You are not your business. No. If we take that approach, should we not be looking at that kind of I'm ready to sell approach at all times?
I think we as human beings wear many different hats. You know, we wake up and we're mum. We wake up, we're, you know, we're then wife, we're then friend, we're then business owner, we're then coach, we're all these things, right? So I think by automation, we wear many hats. If we get conscious of wearing a hat that's going to give us a result when you go to sell your business, it's about, well, what hat do I need to put on now to get the result I want? It's the same as when you're looking after a client for their skin. You know, what do I need to do to give this client the results that they're looking for? So we go through this process. It may have to do with preparation. It may have to do with follow-up, you know, all of those things to have that client turn around and be a raving fan. So we have a process. So when we go into selling the business, it's about choosing the right hat that's going to give us the outcome and determining whether we can do it or not. You know, are we prepared to do it? Are we capable of doing it? Yes, I am. Well, what do I need to do to actually get the result? Because really, at the end of the day, when you want to sell your business, you want to be able to walk. You want to walk away with a decent, you know, amount of money in your bank. Okay, at least cover your bills, cover your debts, or at least have a little bit extra money that you can go off onto your next journey. Correct?
For sure.
So, learning to work out which hat you put on. Does that answer the question?
Well, yeah, it does. It does. But I kind of think, you know, can't we put this hat on all the time, even if we're not ready to sell our business? Like, can we not put our business?
Yes, thank you. Yes, you're right. As soon as you walk through the door, that hat. You have to design that hat. I mean, are you going to be accountable to your team? Are you going to, you know, how do you want your team to be? You know, everything that we need to have out of our business, we need to create like a self avatar that's just for the business. And part of that is, you know, have I just bought myself a job and do we behave like that? Am I a businesswoman? And, you know, the end result is one day, maybe not now, but one day I want my salon to be sold. So, yes, you absolutely need to be ready for it now. So there's there's a process that you can do to have it ready all the time.
I think so. And even if, like you say, you're not going to actually sell it, but thinking about it, because it removes the emotion. And I think, like, if we think about a profit first approach, then we would, you know, look and say, if I was going to spend $250,000 on my, just using your earlier example, fit out, is that going to give me the return on investment, or am I just going to emotively love being in there and everyone's going to say, oh, how beautiful your salon is, but really, was that a good business investment? Maybe it was, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but you need to look at it from somebody else coming into this business to buy it, would they look at it like that? Would an investor look at it like that? And I think that's the mindset that you want to be running your business from.
Correct. If you are going into business knowing that you're going to sell it one day, and I think a lot of salon owners go into business and I don't think they have the same end in mind. I think they go into it because, and I know I did, I went into it because I wanted to own my business. I hadn't really thought about, well, later on down the track. Did not think about it at all. Mm. I was 22, I moved to Melbourne, didn't know anybody and fell into this business and I just embraced it and off I went and kept peddling and kept peddling and kept peddling until one day I decided, you know, successfully. I fell off sometimes and got back up on the bike, but I kept peddling until one day I said, you know what, I've done, you know, the tour of France. Let's, you know, I want to go and do something else now. So but didn't have the end in mind. And that was where I really come unstuck, and this journey taught me a lot, which is, crucial to having a successful business is also to have a successful sale, or what else? You close the doors.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could have coped with having that outcome.
Yeah.
I think that's even worse again, isn't it?
Yes. Let's talk about the numbers. We need to know the numbers in our business. What are your sort of feelings around what information do we need to know?
The short story on this is that when any buyer comes in, one of the first things they will ask you is, what's the profit? Cut to the chase on this subject is, how much money is your business making? Not kind of making, or if we do this, we'll make. It's what are you making profit now? So at the end of the financial year, are you making a profit? Because if you are not, you don't have a saleable business. It's as simple as that. So knowing your numbers along the way is, your wages ratio to your rent. There's key numbers that need to be followed. Your stock on hand, oh goodness me, are you overstocked? Are you just selling the products that turn over quickly? Because, retail doesn't have a cash flow. Retail is more about making you look after a client and having a client return on getting results. But when that money and that stock sitting there, client may not even want to buy, the buyer may not even want the stock. So then what?
That's right.
So knowing your numbers and being really quite crucial on expenditures, which you said before, going and doing an extra fit out or an extension, or is that actually going to give you a return later on down the track? Or is it maximizing on what you've already got? Because if you've got a piece of machinery, that's only working at a 3% at the end of the week, let's say. Well, what can you do to get it up to 35%? Because that will be where your core money indicator will be straight away, is having a check on what treatments are working. So being really tapped into those numbers. And a lot of salon owners I've spoken to, they cringe. They look at me as if to say, oh, don't talk to me about numbers. You need to know your numbers. And that would be one best investment to, if you don't want to do it, is to have somebody else manage it for you that you can report to, and they can report to you on a weekly, monthly basis to make sure that you're staying on track to the end in mind being one day, profitable business. And then if it's profitable, maybe you won't even want to sell it. Maybe you actually want to keep it because you're making money. So it's, it's interesting. But, yes, knowing your numbers, it's in all areas, and having a really good POS system that you can just press three buttons and it spits all the numbers out for you, but making sure those numbers are entered in correctly in the first place.
That's right.
And maintaining them.
Humans have to enter the right number for a computer to spit them out right.
Yes, we do. We certainly do. And I went through a few POS systems until I found, one that gave me the reports that I wanted so I could really get down to retention rates and rebooking rates and, what each treatment was doing, the breakdown of the treatment, the machinery, a combination of three modalities together, which one works better, which one makes the most money, which one's giving the best client the results, which ones are the girls enjoying working with. Every salon will have a different magic potion to their business, and really, loving the clients and loving the results is fantastic, but loving your business really took me a while to learn it, but it's really loving your numbers.
Well, I think, like you say, the first thing is to know the numbers so you understand, it's like as opening up the hood of your car and understanding how it works, because you can't put petrol in or change the oil if you don't know how it works.
Right, where to fit it, put it.
That's
exactly.
Right.
And you won't know how to fix it if you won't know how to get it running if you don't know what you don't have the right information, then you're going off and just hoping.
Or if you don't know how to open the hood, for example.
Yes. Hey, every salon owner too. I mean, when I first went into my first salon owner, if we're talking about hoods of cars, I wouldn't have even known where it was. Like, sometimes we start off so green And we're not sure what shade of green we are by 2 years or 5 years. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we need to know our numbers. And then I guess the next thing is that sometimes we don't want, while we're running and loving our business, we don't want to make too much profit because we don't want to pay too much tax. But in fact, if you want to sell it, you need to change that mindset well in advance to make sure you're maximizing profit. And yes, it does mean you have to pay a little bit more tax for a while, but you're going to get that back in a higher sale price, right?
Yes, correct. Well, if you do it that way, yes, you will.
Yes. Okay. Good. All right. Okay.
Absolutely.
What's your last sort of thought around what else do we need to know? What are your thoughts around this topic?
Okay.
What's your last tip of the day?
I think we look. When I studied NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, there was a big thing about ego. And a lot of us are driven by, not wanting to, especially with social media, we don't want to let anyone know that we're having a hard time or we're struggling. And I get that totally. I've been there myself. But letting go of the idea that you've tried everything and you know everything, even though you know you haven't, there can be a behavior wrapped around that. And we simply just don't know what we don't know. And we can't uncover that until sometimes that we're in the process of it and then we realise, oh, goodness, I didn't know that. That's part of learning. But if someone could hand you hindsight, a golden egg of knowing how and what you need to do now to sell in 3 years' time or 5 years' time or next month or whatever, isn't that priceless? And that's what I really wanted to bring to the industry, was allowing them to know that they have someone that's done it, not afraid of saying, I scun my chin big time first time round, but guess what? I got it right the second time round and, came up with thumbs up. And I'm passing that over to whoever wants to grab hold of it and know what they need to know now, not when it's too late.
Okay.
So that would be my biggest tip, is grab hold of the golden egg.
Yes. And actually you have said golden egg in your book.
Yes.
Good. We're going to put the link to...
It's the whole book, really.
Okay. We're going to put the links to those in the show notes of this episode. So I really appreciate that insight, because I 100% agree with that. It's a stressful time. And
it is.
Get ahead of the game. And I guess our message today has been that, get ahead of the game. Even if you're not ready to sell or thinking that you're going to sell or you're still in love with your baby, know this stuff, because it puts you ahead strategically, stuff that you need to know mindset-wise anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
And it takes a little bit of the fear away. You know how you were talking about the fear before? If we know about something, the fear's not there anymore. But if we don't know about it, well, then we're only going to hang on to the fact that we don't know about it, which only embraces fear. So grab hold of the golden egg instead.
Perfect. All right. Kylie-Anne, you're a business owner yourself. Tell us, do you have a mantra or a quote that keeps you sane or keeps you going as a business owner to share with us today?
Yes, I do. I have one that my dad gave me at a very, very young age, and I never really understood it as a child, but he always said to me, and I remember walking, because I grew up on a farm, I remember walking and putting my feet into his footprints, and my dad just said to me, Kylie-Anne, don't worry, there's always an angle. And, here I am now as a solution creator, and I embraced that even more, that there is always an angle. Sometimes we need somebody else's perspective on it. Sometimes we need to crouch down or stand up tall or look from a different view to actually see that there's another way around things. Often what we'll do is we'll push through doing the same thing with the same mindset. So, yeah, it goes back to, if we change the mindset and we approach it with a different thought process, well, then that's bringing it in on a different angle. Only then will it give you that different result every time. So that would be my big mantra.
Nice. I love it. I love that. And I love that you have a visual representation of that. You
know, yeah, I do.
Story. That's really cool.
Only like it was yesterday and I think I was six. Yeah.
Wow.
It's always been there. So I've always believed that, you know, it might be a problem, but it's not. And, you know, we read about it in you know, affirmations and that, you know, every problem's a possibility or an opportunity. It really is. We just have to be in the mind of it being like that.
For sure. Look, that story also encourages me that, you know, for my own children, that when I see the stuff that they say and they seemingly don't really pay attention, that, you know, it all sinks in and comes back when they're older.
Oh, they do. Oh, yes.
Thanks for that reminder.
Yes, all right. Absolutely.
Other than your beautiful golden egg, what other book, webinar, podcast resource do you think that all salon owners should get their hands on?
High Performance Habits by Brendan Burchard. It is dynamite. I often drive to clients and in some cases it can take a while to get there, and I will go back to certain chapters in his book where I just go, yes, that's what I wanted to do, or that's what I wanted to take over or change or modify. But see, the thing is, more often than not, what we do is we become our own habits and we get stuck in our own comfort. And that comfort is the path of least resistance, so the easiest, and it's not necessarily the best. So what Brendan really talks about, short story, is, you know, creating habits that equal high performance, which then equals results. So if we can create new habits, you know, same as the angle, you're going to get different results and different outcomes. So approaching life, you know, by creating, like finding whereabouts your habits aren't working for you and changing them. And that was the biggest inspiration that I got over throughout my years. And, you know, call myself a change facilitator because, you know, it isn't as hard as what sometimes we think it is. It's just often we don't have the resources to be able to do it ourselves. So, and we're not supposed to do, we can do anything, we just can't do everything. So sometimes, you know, it's good to be able to, you know, delegate or get somebody else on board to assist you through certain processes. So definitely High Performance Habits.
Beautiful. All right. This has been so valuable. This has been, I know this has been insightful for you guys that are listening, whether you're ready to sell, desperate to sell or not ready to sell, there's something in there from Kylie-Ann for you. So Kylie-Ann, please tell us, where can we stalk you? Give us your dub and your socials.
Absolutely. I love being stalked, so stalk away. It's solutioncreator.com.au is the website. Yep. You can do /sell-your-salon.
Perfect.
That will be the best place. And I've got a community in there, so you can always join my community that allows me to support you in that process of selling too.
Beautiful. I love it. I really appreciate your time today, Kylie-Ann.
Thank you so much for having me. I really, I'm very excited. So I'm sure someone's taken away a little bit, maybe a lot, but I wish every salon owner great, great success every day.
And that's a wrap for today. Now, I want to give a massive thanks to Kylie-Ann for sharing her advice on selling your salon and how it doesn't have to feel so big and heavy. It was also really interesting to chat with her about my own journey and how her journey compared with mine and how similar they were. And maybe this is something you can resonate with. I know that I certainly could have used her great advice when I was selling my salon. Where was she when I needed her? So I especially love the way that she mentioned the mantra from her dad, and that there's always an angle, right? And I think this is something that we could apply in all aspects of our own lives, especially our business. The topic that Kylie-Ann discussed today is something that I'm so passionate about. Learning to step away from your business in order to grow is something that, as you know, I talk about often. So to hear more about this and to learn about ditching the overwhelm, whether it's growing or selling or team, whatever it is, and thinking about moving into a life of freedom and profit be sure to download my free guide. I'll put the link in the show notes and come and join me in my free Salon Owners Collective Facebook group. This is the kind of conversation that we have there in this group. If you've got any questions, reach out to me. And don't forget to check out Kylie Ann's links below in this episode notes on www.salonownerscollective, where you can get more of her great advice. Thanks for tuning in again this week, and I look forward to chatting to you in the next episode.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.